This is a special report from ABC News. Harris picks walls. I'm Brian Clark. Presumptive Democratic nominee Kamala Harris is poised to select Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. ABC's Karen Travers has more on the 60-year-old.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz became a popular choice online for Vice President Harris's running mate with his folksy style and zingers aimed at Donald Trump, including calling Republicans weird. He served 24 years in the Army National Guard, served 6 terms in Congress representing a rural district, and worked as a public high school teacher and football and basketball coach. Walz and his wife Gwen have a son and a daughter.
ABC political director Rick Klein explains what he brings to the ticket.
The Harris campaign knows that if you win in the upper Midwest, you almost certainly win the election. And the movement that we've seen in the battleground state polling and the 538 polling average just since Joe Biden left the race is substantial, and it's particularly pronounced in those upper Midwest states.
Two will appear in Philadelphia tonight. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Communities around Wisconsin are getting money to reach out to people who need lead pipes removed. $900 million in loan money comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Communities can start applying at the end of the month. More than 37,000 lead service lines have been replaced or shut off in Wisconsin since 2018. Expect to hear more about reproductive rights from Vice President Kamala Harris as she campaigns for president. Marquette poll director Charles Franklin says it's the number one issue for Democratic voters.
But independents rank it quite a ways down. And so I think it's possible that she may emphasize that issue more than Biden was doing. Whether that brings any independents over is an open question.
Franklin speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Harris and Republican running mate J.D. Vance will both campaign in Eau Claire tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Citing a conflict, Katrina Bowers' attorney has withdrawn from the case. Attorney Ann Larson will be replaced by Amber Gratz to represent the mother of 3-year-old Elijah Vu, who was reported missing by Bowers' boyfriend in Two Rivers on February 20th. Bower faces chronic child neglect charges, as does her boyfriend Jesse Vang. No one has been charged with the child's disappearance. A top White House official is in Appleton today. White House Director of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, Tom Perez, will be meeting with Appleton Mayor Jake Woodford, State Representative Lee Snodgrass, and Fox Valley Literacy at the Appleton Transit Center. They'll be discussing $25 million in upgrades to the Transit Center thanks to a bipartisan infrastructure law designed to help create jobs, more accessible transit, and build additional affordable housing. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
It's the Brewers and the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the crew in Atlanta to open a 3-game series against the Braves. Milwaukee with a 6-game lead in the NL Central, thanks to the Mets beating the Cards 6-0. Cubs losing at home to the Twins 3-0. NFL, the Packers have practice this week, getting ready to play the Browns in Cleveland Saturday night. Tight end Tucker Kraft taken off the PUP list after injuring his pectoral muscle in the weight room last April. Kraft thinks he can help out running back Josh Jacobs.
I think in the run game, I got some really strong hands. I think I could be at the point of attack in a kick out, throw me in motion to take on larger guys in the run game.
In New York, the Giants and the Lions joint practice turned into a brawl. The Packers have a joint practice next week in Denver. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon. Our high today in the low to mid 70s. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear. We'll drop into the mid 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devils F-Kits radio show. We'll introduce you to Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris's VP pick, or Crudy will eat his crow. Tune in Devils.
The Devils Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and we're talking about inflation and the economy. And so we've got some callers hanging on from the first half of the show. Let's go to them directly. Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. Thank you for holding on. You say what?
Thanks for taking my call. And Sandy, it's nice to see you in the pilot's co-chair again today. My observation or comment for today is more in line with Gary, who called earlier. Now that Kamala Harris has selected her VP candidate, it is time for her to really sit for interviews. I am concerned that she's only doing campaign speeches at this time. And the last time I looked, it was a couple of days ago, there was not a policy platform on her website. So it's time for her to start talking about her policy position and how she is going to execute them. And that's all I have to say. As far as Tim Walz, I think he's a good choice. He won't do any harm. He doesn't really add to the ticket, but he doesn't subtract from it either. So as far as I'm concerned, it was a safe choice.
Hey Cassandra. Cassandra, let me ask you before you go. Kamala has been in this position going on 3 weeks, and we're calling for her platform. Her platform, again, is going to be the platform of the Democratic Party. We know what that is. She's not going to come in and completely change that platform. I still don't understand. Sandy and I constantly ask the question about what is the Republicans' platform? And all this time, we've been asking more and more about Donald Trump and what his platform is going to be. He has none. And so why is it 3 weeks in you think it's important that Kamala Harris
I think Cassandra, we just need to be patient. I'm confident that there will be a great deal of discussion about policy. I think that quite frankly, the Democratic side will demand that there be discussion by their candidate of policy, because it's quite a policy driven, I think, politically speaking. I think that the Democratic side is much more policy driven than maybe the Republican side is. So I'm pretty sure we'll get there. It's kind of early in the game, and I'm pretty sure that your request will be granted.
Well, you know, because of the way she entered into the position, and there's only less than 90 days left.
Well, you know,
for the election.
Well, you know, the elections, the elections in most of the developed countries are restricted to 100 days. So we can say in the United States that 90 days is a short period of time, but 90 days with the amount of spotlight attention that's going to be placed on this is plenty of time for people to lay out their policies, to garner support, or to make mistakes. I mean, it's plenty of time.
Well, you know what? Not everyone pays attention. Well, most people, or some voters, they receive their information at the last minute. So they may not have time to read it and also do research on it. But as I said before, she really does need to put some meat on the bone and put out her policy position. Well, thanks a lot for the
Thank
call.
You. Thank you very much for the call, Cassandra. I appreciate it. The first big first big mistake of her campaign, she should have picked Josh Shapiro. You don't win Pennsylvania, you lose the presidency.
Well, who knows?
That's a comment from the Facebook page where Stephen is commenting.
Okay.
And you can comment as well on the live stream by heading over to the Earl Ingram Show and Civic Media's Facebook or YouTube feeds to comment along as well.
It's interesting. I think that there's obviously everyone out there has their own opinion about how to run things. I'm pretty sure that this was a very carefully made decision based on lots of information from the public, from polling, from interviews, from all kinds of scientific processes to try and figure out who could be the best candidate. I think that the interesting thing is that there were such a large number of potentially very strong candidates. And, we'll find out. You know, in the long run, we'll find out what would have happened, what the pluses and minuses were.
Sandy, surprising to me, and then we'll go back to the phone lines, is Donald Trump made a call for his running mate that clearly many people, Republicans, disagree with from the onset, who he clearly had an opportunity to pick some pretty potent guys.
Well, I think the difference is I'm pretty sure, this is just a projection without firsthand knowledge, that the process here involved a substantial many people and lots of input. And I think when the news came out about J.D. Vance, and the discussion by the people who were close to the campaign, it was sort of laid at the feet of Don Jr.
Yeah, Don
Jr., who is apparently a political expert, had a lot to do with deciding that J.D. Vance was the perfect candidate. So that just sounds to me like it's a lot less carefully analyzed.
Let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
I just wanted to make three quick points. John Stewart did an interesting interview about inflation, and they do calculate that the corporate greed is about 40% of what we're looking at in the actual inflation. The other thing that people are not calculating into homeowners and inflation is the global warming and the effects these storms are having, and the effect they're having on the insurance industry and what it's costing people to insure homes, insure even automobiles. Because they end up floating around in 8 feet of water. But the only other thing I wanted to say is I'm going to pose the question the other way. Why is Trump backing out of something he already agreed to? I mean, we all know why, but why? What do the Republicans respond to that? Thank you.
All right, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. First off, to Gary. Gary, eggs aren't real good for your cholesterol, so maybe you should cut down on your number of eggs. It sounds like you eat more eggs than anybody I know. Or go buy a couple chickens and put them in the backyard and get your eggs from there. Second, we, the people, ultimately are the government. Kamala Harris's campaign is a people-powered campaign. It is not a corporate campaign. And I am so excited about it. And I just want to say, I don't know where Cassandra has been. I hate to come on here all the time and dispel their lies. But if you listen to a Kamala Harris speech, she talks about childcare, healthcare, taxing the billionaires, rent control, the things that Sandy talks about that we should be talking about for Tom, Dick, and Mary. So I don't know where the heck they're getting it from, but I do want to say one last thing. For CJ, I've donated $50. For Gary, I've donated $50. For Cassandra, I've donated $50. For the guy from Minnesota that calls himself a Democrat rather than being part of the Democratic Party, I have donated $50. I've donated $50 for myself this morning. So I've donated $250 because I am so excited that we actually are getting our democracy back, and we are going to get it through Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And I am cannot be more happy. And I'm so sick of their rain clouds because they got nothing. They got nothing. Hey. We have actually democracy and not an authoritarian dictator. Hey, and that's why Donald Trump thinks he can say, hey, we're having this debate at such and such time, because he's a dictator. He tells people, this is what we're going to do. Yeah.
Hey, Tom, you got it off your chest? Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for
the call. You know, let's go to Jeannie from Eau Claire. Hey, good morning to you, Jean. You say what? Jean. Okay, so wherever Jean is. So, Sandy, I guess what I like to say about all of those things, to keep asking what is, you know, the platform of Kamala Harris, it's the Democratic platform.
Well,
the Democratic platform doesn't change.
Well, I think the Democrats, and I think she will, in fact, do a much better job of discussing the issues than they have in the past, quite frankly. Because I think the Democratic Party has done a lot of the right things, but they haven't done a very good job of explaining what they're doing or why they're doing it or what the impact is, which leaves a vacuum that leaves them subject to being criticized for things that shouldn't be laid in their lap, like the inflation that was the result of largely the outcome of the pandemic, the pent-up demand during the pandemic, the war abroad that had the impact on the price of oil and gas, the tariff policy of Trump that disrupted the supply chain that caused a shortage of things in addition to the pandemic. I mean, there are plenty of things to analyze, to explain whatever it is that is negative, okay? I mean, the only thing that Joe Biden did that he could be accused of is passing an infrastructure bill that was a large expenditure bill that involved the employment of a lot of people. We should remember that one of the reasons we didn't have a pandemic we didn't have a recession during the pandemic is we had the government supporting the economy, literally supporting the economy.
You know, Sandy.
And so there were a lot of people without jobs who needed jobs coming out of the pandemic, and there needed to be some stimulus in the economy to make sure that those jobs were ready and waiting for them, and that happened. I mean, Joe Biden and his administration did quite an orderly job of coming out of a pandemic that could have been a serious recession, coming out of it in a manner that involved no recession whatsoever.
844-967-2789 is the number, guys. Hang on the phone line. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Right on. Right on.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to share two insights from the National Consumer Law Center on medical debt. First, never pay medical debt with borrowed money or credit. According to the NCLC, unlike credit card debt, medical debt will often carry low or no interest payments or late charges. So don't take out a second mortgage to pay it off, and never put medical debt on your credit card. Second, treat medical debt as a lower priority debt to be paid only after you pay your mortgage, your car loan, or things with higher interest. Now, the NCLC isn't saying you never have to pay your debt off or that there aren't consequences to not paying it. Just be smart about what you pay when, and don't use something with a higher interest rate to pay something with a lower interest rate, like medical debt. For more Everyday Money tips, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Mike from West Bend. Good morning to you, sir. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I think it's a safe pick. I think he's a very articulate speaker. I've listened to him. He's very approachable. And people will like him, and that would give strength for Harris. He's a veteran. He likes to fish trout. He's a bird hunter. He's a reasonable gun advocate, you know, not somebody off the wall. I would have picked Shapiro to get the delegates, but he's a safe pick. Now she's going to have to work hard, but he's going to balance her better, because if he goes against J.D. Vance, who I thought was a terrible pick, people are going to see how approachable and how likable he is.
You know, Mike, it's very well said, because, you know, all the things you just said about him would denote him as being an average everyday guy, right? That he appeals to the average everyday guy.
Well, I think he's gonna, I think he's a very appealing guy, and I think he actually has the potential to appeal to some of Trump's base because of the kind of person he is and his capacity to talk directly to them.
Hey Mike.
I think economically.
Go ahead quickly.
I just wanted to say one thing. Economically, I think he's pretty stable. He's got a lot of common sense, and that's what both parties need right now, is a little common sense.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for listening, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, in terms of some common sense, you know, Medicare for all would save families roughly $5,000 a year if they currently pay for insurance. And that would almost double the local economies if you look at it like special rural areas. And what got trashed as a Green New Deal is an idea of having us finds ways to get energy locally. Out here, we could have all our fuel and a lot of our heating and our electricity made from our biomass and biofuels. And that, once again, almost doubles the local economy. 20% of our state economic energy engine goes out of state for bringing in fuel and electricity. And we can make that all here. So it's an example of where the corporate greed is actually keeping us locked into an old system that we don't need it anymore. And if you want to get economics to be politically democratic, you got to have it be local. And so there's all kinds of things we can do platform-wise to get rid of that corporate greed.
It's well said, Tom. Sandy, you want to respond to anything?
Well, I think all of that's true. I think that one thing that is happening and that the Biden administration is doing is it has awakened the antitrust division. And the antitrust division is taking on big business. Google, for instance, just recently, yesterday, suffered a decision in court based on an action that was brought. And I think that I think a couple of callers have mentioned this. I do think that ever since Ronald Reagan, we found that Washington has been listening more to K Street with respect to its antitrust policies rather than taking action to make sure that we have really effective competition in all the markets. If we had really effective competition, for instance, in the grocery industry, we wouldn't have the stickiness in the downward trajectory of prices. Whereas what we found is that prices went up, profits went up for the grocery chains quite a bit, and prices haven't come down as the cost of commodities has come down. And so, you know, this is a policy issue. And which presidential candidate do we think would better carry that policy issue?
So Yeah, let's go to Jeannie from McClair. Thank you very much. Good morning to you, Jeannie. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Great callers today. I got to give three cheers to LA Tom and Mike. And boy, just great conversation. And I was going to say comment on that issue, but it seems everything's been covered. But I have relatives who live in Minnesota, and they love the guy. He has honesty and integrity and wonderful things that you would want in a leader. You know, he doesn't lie or, you know, make up stories or go after women. And he works for the benefit of all. And I think he'll be a great vice president. And I think Kamala Harris, who's working for the people also, will make a great president. So I'm looking forward to getting rid of the chaos and seeing that man's face on my television that gives me nightmares every goddamn night, going after women nonstop. It's like, So anyway, these guys, I'm so excited. I'll be able to sleep at night. Thank you, guys, and have
Thank
a great
you.
Day.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much for the call, as always. You know, Sandy, I guess we can move on to what I wanted to talk about next, and we can kind of get into that a few minutes before we have, you know, go for a short break. But, Sandy, the Middle East, you know, United States has been working for 40 years to try to prevent a regional conflict that I think many Americans may not be aware of and don't understand why it's so critically important that this did not become a regional or does not become a regional conflict. Can you share with your information about the area you've been there?
Well,
why it's so critically important to not allow this to become a regional conflict?
Well, I think regional has a greater possibility that the United States itself becomes involved in it. Okay. I mean, it is from the standpoint of natural resources. As long as oil is important to the world, the Mideast is important to the world from that standpoint. But also, the Mideast is a big population center, and it's an important population center, particularly because Israel's located there. And so I think that the United States has done a pretty effective job, and I think the Mideast itself is not interested in having a regional conflict. I think Iran is a bit of an outlier. One of the reasons it's an outlier is it's not an Arab state, okay? It doesn't speak Arabic naturally. It's got a different language. It's got a different ethnicity. It's always been separate from the Arab states. And in a way, I think the West kind of created the situation in Iran that we did back with what we did in 1953 and the Shah, installing the Shah and creating the atmosphere that the Shah created during his tenure, which resulted in the reigns of the Khomeinis ever since. But, you know, I'm actually pretty sure that there will be a much more temperate kind of a situation there than the media. The media likes to, I think, discuss this as if it's always emergent. There's always an emergency pending. And I do think that there will be some reaction by Iran as the result of the conduct on its soil and the assassination of several Iranian or proxy Iranian leaders. But that happened during the Trump administration. Trump had Soleimani executed and assassinated. And there was, in fact, an Iranian response with hundreds of rockets raining down on U.S. Installations in Iraq. But it was a one-time event, and Donald Trump decided to do nothing about it.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays is my co-host, Andy Williams, and you. You know, so.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
working people in Wisconsin need more opportunities to boost their income. That's according to Robert Craig of Wisconsin Citizen Action. He recommends more access to job training programs.
A lot of the workforce training programs we have are helpful to a number of people, but they don't move the inequality numbers because they don't reach enough people.
A new University of Wisconsin study finds income inequality is growing in Wisconsin, although the problem is worse in other states. Wisconsin wildlife officials are out with their fall hunting forecast for 2024. The archery and bow deer season for deer is being extended in some areas. The Department of Natural Resources expects good harvest numbers for turkeys, pheasants, grouse, and bear. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The name of the man found floating in Lake Winnebago at the Calbus Country Harbor near the town of Black Wolf has been released. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office says the man was 64-year-old David Prato of Oshkosh. There's no evidence of trauma, but the cause of death is under investigation. The Fox Cities Chamber has been named the best chamber in the nation by the Association of the Chamber of Commerce Executives. And they support businesses of all types in Outagamie, Calumet, and in northern Winnebago County.
Because it takes everybody, it takes a village, like they say, to be successful. And we connect them with the tools and the resources. You know, there's marketing opportunities. We do advocacy for small businesses, for all business sizes. So we are here for any size business that wants to grow.
The Fox Cities Chamber is the second largest chamber in the state. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez divorce has been injected with some actual Hollywood-style drama. According to Suge Knight, illicit videos of Lopez were found when the FBI raided Sean Diddy Combs' properties a few months ago. The former Death Row CEO claims the FBI gave the videos to Affleck as a solid to prepare him in case the videos potentially went public. Knight is apparently basing this all on the timing of the issues between Affleck and Lopez. Combs has been accused of crimes ranging from sex trafficking to sexual assault. What are the effects of divorce for a middle-aged man? For Ben Affleck, he sought counsel from his ex-wife Jennifer Garner, who eventually had to excuse herself from being her ex's therapist. Affleck is also rocking a faux hawk like Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. This all comes as TMZ reports that Affleck and Lopez are not speaking to each other. In the meantime, Ben Affleck will presumably be on the lookout for a new girl named Jen while looking like Travis Bickle. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon. Our high today in the low to mid-70s. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear. We'll drop into the mid-50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
During life's most trying times, it helps to have someone with experience and understanding at your side. Ryan Funeral Home and Crematory has attentive staff and a peer available 24 hours a day and nearly 100 years of business experience, which can provide comfort during those difficult times. Call them at 920-336-3171 or visit them at ryanfh.com. Ryan Funeral Home and Crematory, local people serving local families since 1926.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we'll be moving with the Malcors. Ben and Deanna join us to talk real estate. Then Sam Floyd is in from Operation Coffee. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. They'd sit around the house
back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That same number is Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you, Sandy, the music.
Well, yeah, this music, this is Take the Money and Run, Steve Miller. But it's the music today is about money, the stock market. People are, I think, properly interested in what's going on, but maybe overly reactive to what happened yesterday.
You and I had a great conversation off the air that we're going to talk about now as it relates to military preparedness and how the world is seen by our nation and how the rest of the world sees us and our role in those things. But before we do that, let's go to Chad from Greenfield. Good morning to you, Chad. Thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Hey, what's going on? I haven't been able to call in 2 weeks, but I have two big points I'd really want Sandy to address, and one I'd love for Earl and Sandy to address. Number one, when I called 2 weeks ago, I remember Sandy saying, well, you know, he was making fun of President Trump, saying how people leave his staff and all the turnover. Well, now it comes out that Kamala Harris, her staff has a 92% turnover, the highest ever. The stories of her being so nasty, dropping F-bombs, documented, people having to address her as attorney general. You were saying that you were safer with Biden because he keeps people. Well, what do you say about Kamala Harris with her 92% turnover and how documented nasty she treats her staffers? And number two, the other, well, I mean, there's nothing to laugh about, Earl. When you, if you have to stand.
Well, now, wait, Chad. We could laugh because what was the turnover like in the Trump administration in terms of his cabinet?
It was 70.
But what, and what do those, and yeah, what do the, and what, how many of the people in the Trump administration one, are endorsing Donald Trump for reelection today? Okay. I think F-bombs, really? Is that what we're going to worry about? Is it because she's a woman that you've brought that up? Because Donald Trump is recorded with F-bombs and much worse.
Sandy, first of all, you're not addressing my comment. Obviously, you're not addressing the 92% staff.
I haven't seen the statistics that say 92%.
Why don't you just Google it? It was in the Washington Post, and everyone's talking about it. And you won't address it. Well, you were trying to address President Trump's turnover, and Kamala's is way worse. She's doing the F-bombs towards her staff. Donald Trump's not doing it towards the staff.
Go ahead.
Okay, Chad. What's the second issue?
Is there something else?
Okay. Well, first of all, you didn't address the first one.
So well, we will. We will. One. What's the second?
The second one is I have said all along that what Kamala Harris and the Democrats have done is a slap in the face towards democracy. She never got one vote. It's stealing the people that voted for her. She never got one vote. She never sold one vote. I mean, she never got a vote.
Well, she did get – actually, she got elected vice president. So how many million votes did that take?
President, there's two different offices. Now, my question is, even Black Lives Matter has come out and said, we're not a country of oligarchs. This is a stolen of our democracy. She's never gotten a vote. I'd like you to address what even Black Lives Matter sees that they've come out and said this is against democracy. You guys say this is all talking points, but even Black Lives Matter says the same thing.
Who is Black Lives Matter?
Who is the spokesperson for Black Lives Matter? I didn't know they had a spokesperson.
Addresses. We never knew. That's why the whole thing was a scam, the Black Lives Matter
if it was all a scam, then why are you saying that we should respond to something they say?
Let me respond to Chad, okay? You can't have your cake and eat it too, okay? You have a candidate who was notorious for firing or losing his cabinet. Important people. Cabinet officials are actually officials and officers of the United States government. Staff is something altogether different. And number two, you want to talk about profanity. I don't think you want to play in that game in terms of discussing personal behavior as between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, unless you want to make some distinction between men and women. Number one. Number two. I think that the process for selecting the vice president was deemed to be the process used by the Democratic Party, and The Democratic Party can they could select a candidate however they chose. The Republican Party was running on the ground that Joe Biden shouldn't be president because he wasn't capable. Joe Biden decided that he didn't have the energy to run after listening to a lot of third parties, including probably the opposition, and decided not to run. So I don't understand this process of wanting your cake and then eating it too. You want to have both sides of the argument. You want to quote Black Lives Matter when it's convenient, but you want to describe Black Lives Matter as a sham. I mean, I just think that we ought to just all be honest. We ought to look at things directly and figure out what we really think. And I think that the data about the staff, Donald Trump, one of his big criticisms, this was before, just immediately before Joe Biden quit, was he said, Joe Biden doesn't fire anybody. You need to fire people to demonstrate the strength of character. Well, maybe Kamala Harris is very demanding and wants things to be accomplished, and things maybe weren't getting accomplished at the rate that which she chose. I'll be very interested to find the data, because I'd be surprised. 92% is a turnover that she might have experienced over a long period of time, okay? I mean, most staff people who go into government aren't in government for a career, and they come in and out of government. I was staff to the governor of the state of Wisconsin for 2 years. I didn't leave because I didn't like the job that Pat Lucey was doing when I was his legal counsel. I left because I was only going to leave private practice for 2 years. That was my commitment. So I'm just saying, there's just a lot of folly involved with, and this is, I think, groping. Okay, I think we ought to find real issues to talk about instead of personality.
Well, issues. Sandy, I'd like to ask Chad. So, you know, you talk as if, you know, the Democrats committed some crime by having Kamala Harris become the nominee, and I remember when Donald Trump, during the Republican, you know, those who were running against Donald Trump, he chose to not even have a debate with any of them. He was not there. Nobody, you guys said nothing about that. And here's the last thing I'd say to you. To say that the Democrats and Kamala Harris is some wide-eyed, you know, kook who is going to mistreat those amongst, you know, who work for her. But why is it an issue with the Republicans? If that's the case, are you concerned about those people who represented Democrats who were a part of Kamala's?
No. Is she concerned about the Republicans who were the part of the Trump administration? I just think that I think we ought to talk about policies. I think we ought to talk about things that actually matter
to
the citizens of the United States, and not about this kind of stuff.
Well,
okay?
That's all they have.
And quite frankly, you can talk about how Kamala Harris was selected, but the voters of America are going to have the opportunity to vote her up and down, and so she's going to be subjected to the test of the vote, and whether the Republicans can worry about how the Democrats selected their candidate, but I think the outcome will be determined by the votes of the American public.
I want to ask Chad one last thing. So, Chad, you mean to tell me you think that these two subjects that you brought up are serious subjects that warrant debate and conversation, and that can determine whether or not Kamala Harris is qualified to be the president of the United States, or whether it disqualifies? So you really think these two things you brought up have some relevance?
Oh, hugely. I'd like to address your question, actually. First of all, Sandy says, well, you know, it's time to talk about policy. Kamala Harris has not taken a question ever since she's been selected.
Okay.
Now, and to answer your question, Earl, about the debates about President Trump. Now, President Trump didn't do a debate, but guess what? We were able to vote for President Trump, and I voted for President Trump, and our vote stands. No one voted for Kamala Harris. Huge difference. The people's will in the Republican Party stood. The people's will in the Democrat Party did not. No one voted for Kamala Harris.
Okay.
I voted for President.
All right. Thank you, Harry.
I'm pretty sure ballots across the state of Wisconsin back in April had both their names on
on the ballot. Did we not vote? No.
That's not true. The candidates who, for president in the primaries run solely as, and they choose their vice presidential candidate.
Oh, okay.
But in any case,
thank you for answering that, Sandy. Yeah. That's helpful to know.
So, okay. Brendan, quickly.
Yeah, I just want to say we can already see the attack ads coming out. Let's see, Kamala's husband cheated on his first wife. they're going to go right after the riots in Minnesota on the vice president's pick. They can't get him cheating with a whore or doing anything else like that, so they'll probably go after that. I'm so tired of these people calling with these Newsmax, Fox News talking points that don't mean anything. And as far as policy goes, to Greta and everybody else that's called about the policies, listen to any of her rally, the couple of rallies she's done. She talks about exactly what she wants to do, like you mentioned, Earl. Child care, extended leave for families, affordable medications. You know, I mean, she's talking about this. Plus, it will be a continuation of the Biden policies. Nothing there is going to change. So, you know, good luck, Republicans. You sound like a bunch of scared guys running.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, it's difficult when you were sitting on a perch 3 weeks ago and you were coming out of the pep rally that you talked about, that was the Republican convention. Yeah. I was there. I saw the excitement and the energy that they were experiencing. And they felt so excited about what appeared, and the numbers were going up for Trump and the numbers were going down for Biden.
Well, I just think it's going to be a very interesting 3 months. And I think that 3 months is plenty of time for the American public to digest the differences between these people. Neither one of them is an unknown. Neither one of them represents a blank slate in terms of policy or the analysis of what their policies have been. So I think this is an opportunity for the American public to put their glasses on, read the small print, look carefully at what their options are, and think about what it means to them personally. And we ought to force people, when we talk about it, not just the candidates, but the people we discuss this with, let's talk about policies. Let's not talk about personalities. And I'm sure the Republicans would be not interested in talking about personalities if it put a bright, glaring light on their candidate.
All right. 844-967-2789. As a matter of fact, it was Lindsey Graham this morning who was talking about the fact that Republicans have a problem with personality.
Right.
That's Lindsey Graham. Who was he referring to, Sandy?
Well, I suspect it was a veiled reference.
Right. 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on, guys. We'll return. Justice. He makes his living off of the people's taxes. By the soup, whoa, whoa, she slipped away. Billy Joe caught up to her the very next day. They got the money, hey, you know they got away. They're headed down south and they're still running today. Saying, go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This fall, Wisconsin voters will cast critical votes for U.S. Senate, determining the direction of our state and nation on important issues. The ACLU does not endorse or oppose candidates, but wants voters to make an informed decision in the U.S. Senate election. Abortion is at stake in this election. On abortion rights, what have Senate candidates Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde said? Here's Eric Hovde.
I am a strong believer in pro-life. I am totally opposed to abortion.
And this interview.
Do you think Roe versus Wade should be overturned?
Yes.
Here's Tammy Baldwin.
I want women to decide.
And
I am pro-choice.
And
I lead the effort to restore Roe versus Wade to our national laws.
In their own words, Tammy Baldwin supports abortion rights while Eric Hovde opposes abortion rights.
ACLU Voter Education Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Paid for by ACLU Voter Education Fund, 212-549-2500, not authorized by a candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
What is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show? It flies. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, the music.
Money for Nothing was that one, but it's about the money in the stock market. We were talking about that early in the day, and a lot of people were talking about it yesterday, and I'm sure that they'll be talking about it today after the market figures out what happened yesterday.
All right, let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Hey, good morning. First off, the gentleman was talking about Kamala Harris' staff turnover. The only thing I could find on that whole story when I Googled it was mostly from right-wing Fox News, Washington Post, or whatever. All the right wings were talking about that. I couldn't find anything from Reuters or Associated Press or anything like that. I think it was Gary from Sussex was also talking about the price of Coke and everything. Coke's first quarter profits of this year were $760 million. Profits, $760 million. Kroger quarterly profits are through the roof. It's corporate greed. And he also mentioned the cost of eggs. Eggs are up again because of the bird flu. And the price of feed has gone up, and so that's why we're paying more for this stuff. It's not Biden. It's not Harris. It is corporate greed. Them laying off 15,000 whatever people, and then buying a whole ton of their stock back so their stockholders can make the money. That's what it's all about, making money for the stockholders, not for us.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill?
Great show. And by the way, we got to move those refrigerators, too. But anyhow, I like your intro. But on Kamala in the upcoming election, finally, Democrats are playing offense, not defense. It's an awful lot of fun. Let's just look at the record. It's real simple. Biden believes in investing America. Trump doesn't. His record speaks for itself. And last but not least, on records, Kamala versus Trump. Kamala doesn't have 34 felonies, and she is a state prosecutor. Enough said on the whole upcoming election. Have a wonderful day, guys.
Hi, Bill. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, is Tom still hanging on? No, okay. So Sandy, here's kind of where we are. It's going to be tight. Either way this goes, it's going to be tight. Would you rather be in the position of where the Democrats are now or where the Republicans are?
Well, I think the Democrats have needed in the past to have articulate spokespeople to discuss policies and to force the campaign into the realm of a discussion of policies and the implications of the policies for middle-class America. And I think that that's what they've got now. I do think that both the presidential and vice presidential candidate have demonstrated that they are articulate and they're able to discuss policy. And to bring the campaign down to that issue will be very troublesome for the Republicans, because they have not nominated a candidate who is very articulate or capable of talking about policy. And I think that has benefited them in the past, because it's allowed them to get elected into office without a policy basis, and to continue to demonstrate that when they get elected into office, the main policy they implement is tax reductions. Tax reductions would be not a very good idea in the current economy and in the current circumstance with our fiscal policies.
All right, Dave from Mequon.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I would just respond to Tom in West Dallas. If you look at Intel, they were given over $7 billion of U.S. taxpayer money. They just announced a couple days ago they're going to lay off 15,000 people. So I guess the question I would have for him is, when we say the rich are getting richer, when we're bailing out Microsoft, Intel, these large corporations, I mean, I don't understand why people can't see that. And I understand we want to bring chips over here, but I don't think we have to give hundreds of billions of dollars to companies that are well-established, they're making profits, but that seems to go unnoticed. I don't understand it.
Well, I think the CHIPS Act, Dave, wasn't hundreds of billions. I think the total that was denominated for the production of chips and the development of it was $50 billion. But, and I don't know the extent to which those layoffs end up being the result of any reduction. I think that Intel has built an additional chip manufacturing facility in the United States. And I think that there was a great deal of discussion of the need for the United States to spawn and to nurture the chip industry for the security requirements of the country, not just the economic and competitive issues associated with it. So that I thought that the rationale for the CHIP Act had a lot to do with U.S. security.
All right. Okay, with the fact that they got $7 billion and they're laying off 15,000 people that was just announced 2 days ago.
All right, Dave, we don't have any more time. Thank you very much for the call. Thank everybody who made this show go. Sandy, welcome back. Always great to have you on. Up next, Jane Madnair on the air with Greg Bach. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, Luke. Always great to have you around, man.
Oh, this was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Calvin will be back tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
So you're gonna be free of me. You no longer have me.
to kick around.
Kick around.
All right. See everybody later.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Jane Madnair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more information about the best Supreme Court justice money can buy and an unbearable update about Robert Kennedy Jr. Don't miss it.
Madnair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. Everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and Agrifab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.